So, Charles, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Yeah, it's nice to be back. I did a pre-record thing for you a few weeks ago, but I don't know how did that go?
The quality was pretty poor, but
I'm really sorry about that.
I did learn that it was exactly the same length as the Sleeping Beauty theme tune, though.
Sleeping Beauty? Yeah, no, well, I try and do that.
I've never played it to you, actually. Maybe we'll play a little snippet at the end of the show.
Please don't. I'd rather forget about it.
But you're here on important work. You've come to do our cinema review in the studio next door. There's someone singing.
You know how everybody thinks that the studios are soundproof?
If we turn at one of the microphones, you won't be able to hear.
No, you can't do that. Okay.
Okay.
Shall I do the review?
Yeah, here's Charles with his film review.
Okay, well, if I stop during the review, it's either because I got distracted by the singing next door or my microphone's fallen over because I'm having an absolute mare with it. But anyway, today, this morning, I went by myself to see Star Trek Into Darkness because there's nothing better to do on a Friday morning by yourself.
Were you dressed up?
No.
Okay.
Well, in the sense that I was wearing clothes, yes, but I wasn't wearing Star Trek stuff. So basically, I know it came out 2 weeks ago, but I really wanted to see it, so I'm going to review it, and tough. basically, there was a Star Trek reboot in 2009, and J.J. Abrams, the good director, he's a very good director, he decided to have a crack at it, and he did it... Oh my God, she's really singing. He did a really good job of it. And I went to see it. I'm not a Trekkie. I don't really go into it. I didn't go in for it in any big way at all. I got dragged by a mate who was a fan, and I thought, right, okay, I'll go
and see how
it is.
You just said that you went on your own to the cinema earlier.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did today.
But you said you got dragged into him.
This is for the one that was in 2009, Dan. Mm. Come on, keep up.
Yeah, sorry. I'm distracted by the singing.
I went to see it, and I loved it. Absolutely loved it, the first one. It was good cast, a great set of characters, all re-established very well, and it was just really, really good. A great action romp, very funny, some good one-liners, it was a very intelligent plot, and I loved it. Now comes the inevitable sequel, because it made so much money.
Cashing in.
Yeah, basically, the premise is that Captain Kirk and Spock are sort of living out their bromance, which culminated at the end of the first one. Spoiler alert for the first one. All of a sudden, a bomb goes off in London. Yeah, indeed. Behind it is this shadowy, pale-faced, thin, well-spoken, hooded figure, played by a pale-faced, thin, well-spoken Benedict Cumberbatch in a hood. And he is very good in it. And obviously ensues this kind of manhunt setup.
He's ripe for that role, I feel.
He's very good. He is one of the best things in the film, actually, if not the best. He kind of plays this role which has... he needs to have this sort of malevolent superiority in it, which he kind of brings in from Sherlock. You know, he plays that sort of role very well.
And does he speak with his very posh English accent?
He's got a strange accent in it. He's kind of got a very clipped, well-spoken English, but he's got a little tinge to it. He is obviously probably the main plot point. His character and kind of what happens with his character is very important. So ensues this kind of cat and mouse hunt for this guy who is kind of a terrorist, but also he has some other motives as well, and who knows what they might be. It's very good. It's funny. There's some good one-liners and some good gags in it.
I think it's quite hard to get that right, isn't it, really? When you're doing a serious film, getting moments of comedy can sometimes ruin the film a bit.
Yeah, and this is what the first one did very well. It occupied... I mean, with an action-adventure film like The Dark Knight, for example... That's just a really thrilling, quite brutal, very dark action-adventure film that everybody likes. But this kind of... The first one managed to occupy this space where it was very... quite serious, but also very funny. And so it's kind of on the lighter side.
So is it the same director, then?
Yeah, the same director. Not as The Dark Knight, but as the first Star Trek film. Yeah, yeah, J.J. Abrams. And he's just been signed up to do the Star Wars film, the new Star
Ooh,
Wars film.
Ooh, I didn't know there was a new Star Wars.
Taking all
you
the
didn't
stars.
Know that?
No.
Yeah, no, he's doing all of the Star films. Mm. He's doing them all.
Wow.
Yeah, you sound genuinely not very excited about that, Dan.
No, yeah, I think I'm excited about Star Wars, but Star Trek's never really appealed to me. But Ewan Forrest did come in and say, look, even if you hate Star Trek, like, go and see the first Star Trek film.
Well, this
brilliant.
Is the thing. Is like I say, I was not a fan, and I went and I loved it. And then that made me really want to see this one. And I think this one was very good. I said it was funny. It's maybe not as funny as the first one. I'm not sure it gels quite as well as the first one. There's some good action sequences. There are some plot points which I struggled with slightly, but I won't spoil them, you know, because I don't want to let the spoilers on. There's a moment towards the end where they do this kind of cutaway and kind of do a sort of... They cut away and then they come a bit further on and everything sort of is
all
sort of resolved.
Dream.
And you kind of think to yourself, no, I want to know what went on in that gap. That's a really bad time to do that cutaway. So that annoyed me a little bit. But I think overall it was very good. I mean, I might be being overcritical.
Don't see the first one first, or...?
Yes, I would say that is probably necessary. I think you could come to it cold. You could come to it without having seen the first one. But I think you may as well see the first one. It's readily available. I mean, it's out on DVD and things like that. It's funny and it's really good. And you'll get to know the characters better if you see the first one. I think the best thing about this film, the second Star Trek, to come out of it, is I came out of it and I found myself going, I'd like to see the old TV series. I'd like to see the other films that got made.
Oh, convert.
Well, that's right. And I know it's come under a fair bit of criticism from kind of devout Trekkies who sort of go, why do they have to tone it down? Why can't they make a film for Star Trek fans instead of having to make it a Star Trek film that appeals to everybody? But I think the one positive thing might be that it makes people want to go back and look again at the films that have been made. So yeah, I thought it was very, very good. It's great. It's not as good as the first one, but it is still very, very good and definitely worth going and seeing.
Well, thank you very much, Charles.
That's okay.
And I was also going to ask, have you seen The Great Gatsby yet?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
I think you should watch that next week and review that as well. I've heard some really good things about it, but
okay.
Then someone I saw said they didn't like it.
Okay.
Well, that was a really interesting story.
Cheers.
Sorry, Dan,
do you want to do my slot?
That was.
One person told me it was great. Another person told me it was rubbish.
It was bad.
That's the film.
You don't think there's a career in film reviewing?
Well, seeing as you didn't know there was a new Star Wars coming out, no, maybe not.
So yeah, well, go and watch The Great Gatsby because I'd like Charles' review.
Okay,
that,
I'll try and do that in the next week.
So you got some TV listings for us as well.
Yeah,
some recommendations.
I'll do some TV in a little bit later on.
Should we give you a song break to go and prepare it?
Oh, thanks.